Amen. Notice chapter 12 of Romans, verse 3. The Bible says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to the God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Romans 12 is really the key verse in the Bible concerning self. And three times Paul uses the word think in this verse. He says again in verse 3, he says, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. So God uses the term think here in the Word of God and tells us that we need to think right, and especially about ourselves. And this we find here spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, we need to think right. We are to consider these things concerning what God says in His Word, and we're not to think more highly. So not think more highly of ourselves spiritually, not think more highly of ourselves physically, not to think more highly of ourselves emotionally, financially. You know, everything we have is a gift from God. So Paul uses the phrase not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, there's a difference between humility and pride. And this is where men don't think right about themselves. And, you know, this is a key verse concerning ourselves. Let me say this. Pride is the opposite of things. Pride is the opposite of thinking right. It's not thinking right. It's thinking more highly than we ought to think about ourselves. And God used the word soberly in His Word. We're to think soberly about ourselves. So let me just use this as an example. So let's just say I played the guitar. And I don't, but let's say I do. And, you know, if I thought myself to be the greatest guitar player in the world, I probably would be deceiving myself. And because, you know, I wouldn't give myself over to the guitar. In my schedule, I would learn how to play, and I'd maybe play some different chords and different notes. But if I would think of myself more highly than I should, you know, I'm causing myself to be deceived. And that's where we're at tonight. Think about this. People, you know, can work in a place and they think more highly of themselves than they should. They say, you know, if I was fired, this place would fall apart. I thought that when I was a young person, and I shouldn't have. But, you know, how many irreplaceable people are in the cemetery now? And they've died, and life goes on. Business goes on. Work continues, and so on. So we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. So this is pride, thinking too highly of ourselves. Some would say, I'm the best work, I'm the best laborer, and the company has. And the idea is, you know, again, that's maybe true in your situation, but may not be true. And we're to think soberly about ourselves. Some people say, I'm the prettiest, I'm the most handsome, you know, I'm the best looking. But again, these things are not what we're to compare ourselves among ourselves. You know, everything you have when it comes to looks has been given to you by God. Amen? And so, you know, someone is, you know, very pretty, or someone's very handsome. You know, I have to tell you, that doesn't happen. You know, you have been given certain DNA and certain features and so on. And so, you know, you've been blessed with, you know, good looks, but that's not the bottom line. That's not what we should be looking at. A lot of people do, but they shouldn't be. And then we shouldn't be comparing ourselves among ourselves. So, you know, the bottom line is this, is, you know, we are what we are by the grace of God. And we're not to think ourselves more highly. So this is delusional. And you're not being honest with yourself. I'm not saying that you're not to say that I'm not a blessing, or I'm not talented, or I'm not good looking, or whatever the thing may be. But again, you don't want to think anything, but be sober about this and think about it honestly. So one man wrote this book, Psychological Seduction, The Modern Failure of Psychology. And his name was William Kilpatrick. And he wrote forms of mental illness are always extreme cases of self-absorption. So here's a person who thinks more highly than themselves, and the Bible tells us here they're going to have mental illness. You say, well, mental illness is, you know, maybe a problem, maybe it's a disease. No, it's being self-absorbed. It's being full of yourself. It's being focused on yourself. Like, you're the reason the sun rises. You're the reason the sun goes down. You're the most important person, and you're not. This is what the Bible says, and we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. So the book goes on and says the thing that prize most about themselves is autonomy. Their constant fear is that someone else is interfering with their will or trying to direct their lives. Now, pastors or missionaries could think, you know, I'm the greatest preacher. I'm the greatest missionary. And may I say this? That's not what Jesus would say. Born of woman, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. So of all the great preachers, John was the greatest, and that's where you need to leave it. You know, I remember speaking to Milton Martin, and he was a man who has started over, 300 churches in southern Mexico, and he had an influence in so many modern-day missionaries, where he's influenced how to start churches, how to reach people, and so on. A great man. And yet, I have to tell you, he's one of the most humble men you'd ever meet. He would say, there's no reason to trust me. Don't put your faith in me. And, you know, I would say to him, oh, I'm trusting you're going to, you know, do well tonight. And, you know, and he said, don't have any trust in me. Trust me as being the Lord. As to what he said, you know, I didn't take offense to that. But the thing was this, is that he's right. That, you know, it's not right for us to have such confidence in man. The Bible tells us not to do that. But our confidence needs to be in God. So let's go to Titus chapter 1, if you would. Put a marker there in Romans 12. And Titus chapter 1. And notice, if you would, verse 7. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7. And notice the Bible says here, in verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine nor striking, not given to filthy lucre. But notice what he says here, not self-willed. Now, there are a lot of people who believe that, well, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to conquer this and so on. Look, I want to say this, and there's a side to that that's true. You know, if you don't get busy doing it, you're not going to get it accomplished. But the other side is that you're not going to make it happen. If it's going to happen, God's going to bless. God's going to enable you. God's going to help you. And a preacher is not to be self-willed. He's not to be pushing for his way and his will. Notice, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 2, we see the other portion of Scripture is mentioned in the Scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 2. And notice, if you would, in verse 10. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10. And the Bible says, but chiefly, and let's speak about the lost, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise government. In other words, they don't want authority in their lives. Presumptions are they. Notice, self-will. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So, against authorities. So, God says you're not self-willed. Or they are self-willed. So, but the thing is, we're not to be that way. We're not to be involved with promoting self and doing things and thinking things that are self-will. This is the flesh. This is self-will. It's selfish. And this is the opposite of biblical Christianity. Now, turn to me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice, if you would, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice verse 6. And the Bible tells us, and these things, brethren, I have figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So God says in his word, we might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. So lots of times people have confidence in their pastor. And I try to, you know, meet their needs and help them and so on. But really, you shouldn't have confidence in me. You'd have the confidence of the God of me. Amen? The Lord. And that's very important. Nor should we put confidence in other people. We shouldn't be trusting in an unspiritual way. So God goes on and tells us in his word in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Let's turn there, please. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. And God says in his word, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So you may think of yourself more highly than you should, but look, God has a way of bringing humility to our lives and humbling us. Now, a couple of thoughts concerning thinking too highly of ourselves. You might be boasting of gifts which we have. Self-promotion against sobriety is what is necessary. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. Some people go the opposite of self-depreciation, which is false humility. It's another way to promote self, looking for praise from others. So here's two different examples. You know, God has blessed me with a talent. And I would say this, that God has blessed the unsaved with talent. There's no doubt about it. But they're unsaved. They're not going to be used as they could be if they were saved in the house of God. So the idea is that sometimes we boast about the ability we have, the gifts that we have. We have self-promotion. You know, look at me, and look at me on Facebook, and look at me all over the place. But the opposite is also true, where people are self-deprecating, which is a false humility. They're not sincere. It's another way to promote themselves, looking for praise from others. So I have to tell you, I find this, and don't tell anyone, right? I do this when people start having, appreciating humor about themselves or someone, I'm not really that good and so on. I agree with them. I say, you're right. Well, that's okay. So anyway, number three, a third thought is claim to have to have or be something that you are not. Now, if the Lord has not blessed you with a given ability, don't feign that you have it or don't covet after it. Look, I love music. I really do. But I can't sing. I mean, I sing, but it's not, I don't have a great voice. I don't play an instrument. I used to play the drums. But I don't play an instrument. But I love music. And I know when it's good music. And so if you have a gift or ability, use it for the glory of God. But if you don't have it, don't act like you have it. I have to tell you that people want to join the choir so many times. And they can't sing. They can't. But you're not going to convince them that they can't sing. So, you have to just say, well, we don't have room right now, or whatever it may be. And it's true. But the thing is this, don't think yourself to be something you're not. If you can't play an instrument, don't get up here to Ted Mack Amateur Hour and play along and, you know, just really mess things up. I warned kids in school over there when they had a talent show. I said, please, don't do it. Oh, no, it's going to be great. And they get up there and they flop big time. Because what they thought and reality were two different things. But that's life. It's not, shouldn't be that your life, but many times it is. Because it's self-delusion. It's thinking ourselves more high than we should. So, be thankful for who you are. You may not be what you would like to be. And if you can change this, good, you ought to. If you can change something, that's fine. But if you can't, that's okay. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. Number four, failing to use abilities, gifts, and talents God has given you. Yeah, let me tell you this. That's self-centered. And you say, well, you know, I'm tired and so on. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people who come to church, who preach, who serve in the house of God and are tired. I'm tired tonight. I mean, I'm shot tonight. I don't know why, but I'm shot. It's been a busy day. And that's okay. I'm here trying to preach. But to have the ability to do certain things and you don't, that's a form of selfishness. You don't want to be that way. You don't want to be known as that. So you want to use your talents for the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, let's go back to our text, please. Romans 12 and verse 3. The Bible says, for I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. According to God has dealt to every man according to the measure of faith. So this states here that our thought about ourselves is not to be overestimated. Yet it's not to be underestimated. If you have a talent, like if you can cook, you know, that's a talent. There are a lot of women, men, they don't have to cook anything. You know, they're going to cook up some peanut butter and jelly. You know, they don't know how to cook. But the thing is this, think soberly about yourself. If you're a good cook, praise the Lord. If you're not, well, you can learn to be one. Amen? Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And notice chapter 10, verse 12, please. For we dare not to make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some other commended that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So again, the thought here is this, is that we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Why? Because God gives us abilities. He gives us gifts. He gives us understanding and so on. And it's important to be honest with yourself. And, you know, use your talents for the Lord. Now, the Bible says in verse 12, he says, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What should we do in comparing ourselves with others? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to have it. You know who you want to compare yourself to? Compare yourself to the person of Christ. That's the standard. That's the example. And that's what we should compare ourselves to. Don't say, you know, I'm prettier than her. I'm handsome than he. I'm stronger than he is. What does it matter? Those things aren't important. What's important is that you compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and see how you fare. Make sure you have the right character and the right belief system and so on. Now, the acceptance, the approval, must come from the Lord. And this is important. Let's go to John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. And notice the words of Jesus Christ here. John chapter 5, and pick up here in verse 44. So the Lord says, "How can we ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Now that's the key. We're to be seeking God's honor in our lives. Not say, "How'd I do? What'd I do?" So on in all different fields of service. What you should be doing is seeking God's honor. Is God blessing? Is God leading? Is God directing us? So notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17. And the Bible tells us, "For he that glorieth, let him glory in what? The Lord. Don't glory in yourself. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." So again, the idea is that I want to seek God's approval in my life. I want to seek God's blessing in my life. I want to do God's will for my life. And that's all that should matter. And I realize we in families and even in churches, and people come up to me and say, "Oh, thank you, preach, that was good." And whatever the thing going on, we compliment one another. But really, I have to tell you, I learned a long time ago, back when I was in Bible Baptist Church in Port Jeff Station, a person came to me and said something so humbling. She said, "You remind me of Billy Graham." I went, "Oh." I don't know, that was an insult. So I learned to take, I appreciate people saying nice things, but I know where the blessing comes from. I know where the power comes from. And that's very important to understand. So if someone came up to me and insulted me, I'm not going to be insulted by it. I brush it off. It doesn't matter. Because I know where my approval comes from. I know where my power comes from. I know where the blessing of God comes from. So it is important, again, as the Bible says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And that's why we say, or should say, "Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank the Lord for that." Measuring ourselves to other abilities, and the outward standards, hoping to find approval, is not what we should be seeking. And there's a lot of people looking for approval in our day and age. They're looking for substance. They're looking for, the ability to find acceptance. And it's not right. What we should do is be looking for approval from God. Now, again, many times people so want to be relevant. They're looking for approval and acceptance. And there's nothing wrong with that. But then there's some who can't get enough of it. I mean, if you told them, "Boy, that was you did a good job," and so on, they'd be saying, "Oh, stop, please stop." They couldn't get enough of it. That's what they're living for. That's what they're looking for: approval, acceptance, relevance. And that's not right in your thinking. So then there's some who can't get enough of it. As I said, it's insatiable. It becomes where they're living, looking, saying, doing something for approval. That's why there's a side to Facebook that is just so twisted. It's anti-Bible, because people are looking. They're looking. And I've heard this so many times from professionals and also people. You always put your best face first on Facebook. Look at us. We're having a vacation. As if that's their whole life. So we don't want that. And they become monsters in their behavior. It's never good enough. They're never satisfied. Why? Because it's a lust. It's just as much a lust as a drunkard or a drug addict, etc. It's a lust. It's something that people desire so much to get approval, acceptance, relevance. So the bottom line is that we're to measure ourselves to the person of Christ. And that to me is the greatest compliment I can ever receive, is someone saying you're so much like the Lord. How you speak, how you preach, how you counsel, your kind, your friendship, your loving. I mean, if someone could compare me to Jesus, that's the greatest blessing. I mean that. Now, you ought to be striving for that in your life, to be like Jesus, to be led by God's Spirit, to be godly in your life. You can't get, I mean, to me, you couldn't get a higher compliment. So, let me say a few other things. First of all, change the things that you can change. And if there's something you can do, do it. There's something you can improve upon, learning more about the Word of God, studying more, wanting to get yourself in shape. You know, some people say, oh, I can't lose weight. Well, the bottom line is that the less you put in your mouth, the better off you're going to be. Right? How many times have I talked to people who are overweight and they said, well, it's just that, you know, and they tell me how heavy they are, what they're doing, and I can't lose. I try and lose, and I can't lose, and so on. And yet you hear what they're eating. You want to learn something? Learn an instrument. Take some voice lessons. A course on spelling, if you don't know how to spell well. Take a course on computers. You know, if you're a sloppy dresser, learn how to dress. Learn how to cook. I mean, these are things we can change. You want to learn how to, you know, invest money or make more money or pay. There's so many books on this. There are good men in our church to sit down with you and help you. So there's so much you can do, but whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for God's glory. Correct the things you can correct. If you're a person who holds hard feelings, make a change in life. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be so offended. I'm going to consider the source. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to consider, unforgiveness. I'm going to realize my own sinfulness. You know, I got to take care of that first. And then exercise the prayer. All things are possible if you believe. And then number four, glory in unchangeable defects. And that's important. So Paul was, best I know, by what I've read in history, that Paul was a very short man. He had problems seeing later on in the ministry. He got hit with rocks and beaten up and all sorts of things. All sorts of difficulties he was in. And so he couldn't see. He was a short guy. And so Paul, he learned to praise the Lord in his infirmities. And we need to do the same thing. You know, if there's something you can't change, you live with it. Thank God for it. I mean that. And learn to give God praise in your infirmities. But if you can change those things, change it. And last of all, again, I want to repeat that it's so important for all of us to not think of ourselves more highly than we should think, but think soberly. Think right about yourself. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, and that's very important to consider about thinking right. Amen? All right, let's stand on our feet, please. Head bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.